Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Pinderruption, 1 o'clock. Chance to win a Gurr, 1245. Stanford Route, 1240. Stacked lunch hour here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. As they have been for a long time, the Houston Astros continue to be the best team in town. They're playing some of their best baseball right now. Framber Valdez, we know he's a dog. Is he an ace? Do the Astros have an ace in Framber Valdez? The biggest yeah, but when it comes to the Houston Astros has been, yeah, they're a good team, but they don't really have an ace. They don't have that Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole type of guy. Framber Valdez, ERA 1-4 in 18-plus innings since he's returned. Shook off that finger injury like crazy. And he's looking like an ace.
He is.
But is he an ace, John?
I want to say yes. I'm not going to say yes. Only because he's been remarkably impressive. Just the grit, that he's had. And then the stuff. I mean, the curveball has been amazing. And, oh, by the way, the movement on his fastball. That's the thing. So many pitch. You go to Major League Baseball, you're going to face a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. It's just every day, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. His just seems to be moving. He is just pitching better and better. It helps that Greinke and McCullers are on the staff, and Brent Strom, who I don't think – I think he's the most underappreciated coach, you know, of any team in Houston. Without question, I feel like Brent Strom is that guy. So, yeah, he's getting there. He's absolutely getting there.
Garrett Cole right now, meanwhile, since he left, he's kind of the – he's being ridiculed. I'm looking up at the national media outlet, and Garrett Cole in hot water is the headline. Here is what got Garrett Cole, former Astros pitcher, definitely an ace, with Verlander. That was back when they had two. Here is Garrett Cole – finding himself in trouble and being ridiculed nationally as well as locally.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll hear from Garrett Cole very shortly. Garrett Cole.
Have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't. I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Okay.
It's just a bad look for him, and he was unprepared for a question that everybody knew was coming. I feel it's a little bit awkward to kind of gain, you know, some pleasure or satisfaction in Garrett Cole looking very, very guilty, which he did, because – it's something that has been going on for 100 years in baseball, and it's not electronic cheating. It's something that's been acknowledged to the point of, and you brought this up earlier, Nolan Ryan was talking about this exact same thing.
Here is Jared Carrabas of Barstool mocking Garrett Cole. I think he called today Garrett Cole Day. This is just a little piece of what Garrett Cole is dealing with around the country amidst a cheating scandal in New York.
Welcome back to Morning Wood. Happy Garrett Cole Day. And why is that a special day on the calendar? Well, because he's an ace pitcher, and he's going for the Yankees today against the Minnesota Twins. On that Minnesota Twins team, you will see Josh Donaldson, former MVP in the American League with the Toronto Blue Jays. Why is that an important connection to make? Well, that's because Josh Donaldson called out Garrett Cole for using a sticky substance. That's right, a banned illegal substance. That's right, it is cheating in Major League Baseball. Garrett Cole has a target on his back because, let's face it, he's really good. He throws 100 miles an hour, and he's the highest paid pitcher, or at least he has the largest contract in baseball history for a pitcher. That is going to be an at-bat or a series of at-bats you're not going to want to miss, because when Gerrit Cole was asked in a press conference yesterday about using spider tack, he was like, spiders? I'm more of a Batman guy. Tell you what, I love baseball. You know I love baseball, but there's one thing I love more than just watching baseball games, and that is the storylines that develop within the game. And this, folks, is a very juicy storyline that's going to be taking place on your television screens tonight. I'm going to be parked on my couch for that game, drinking Body Armor, and I'm going to have my orange mango. I got a whole bunch of them, so I can probably go 9 if this goes into extra innings, 12, 15 innings, whatever. I'll have plenty of Body Armor ready to go.
Okay. So Gerrit Cole being called out already by Josh Donaldson. So it should be interesting. I got a feeling this is going to be a constant for Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole becoming the face. Quite honestly, I think Gerrit Cole being the face of the sticky substance is unfair. But let's be honest. He just like the Astros, when they became the face, many feel of a cheating scandal that some claim. I don't know if those claims are valid, that everyone was doing it. When you do it better than everybody else, you're going to be the face. So they're not going to pick some middle reliever like Joe Smith or something that's doing it. Gerrit Cole's the face of it because he's been probably the best pitcher the last couple of years. And it's the same way with the Astros. When you do it better than anyone else, you're going to be the face of it.
Well, and here's how common it is and how silly it is that Major League Baseball is cracking down on this. By the way, they're going to have allegedly random checks in the course of a game. Like an umpire can go out there when whomever is pitching and say, hey, let me see your glove. Let me see the ball. And that's not going to slow down the game at all. But the reason baseball is doing it is to maybe a manager can request it if a pitcher is in a groove, just kind of get him out of his groove. But the reason Major League Baseball is doing it is because they know the game is getting progressively boring, more boring, and they want to do something to try to get offense back in gear here. A 236 batting average for the league is the worst it's ever been. That's an embarrassment. But this is what I was going to say. This is how common pitchers using this sticky substance is. Spider tack is what they just referenced with Gerrit Cole. I just looked it up on Amazon. It is specifically for this. Now, they call it a competition-grade tacky for sports is what they call it. But every single review that I've read so far, and by the way, there are more than 8,000 reviews of spider tack. Every single review has to do with pitching and a baseball. 8,000 reviews. The spider tack is for, that's how common it is. So when you point and laugh at Gerrit Cole, you got to be careful because this is something that everybody does.
This is literally something that everybody does.
Yes.
Like I don't think the Astros cheating scandal was something that everybody does, but this is literally something that I think every pitcher does. Nolan Ryan admitted to as much. Gerrit Cole is admitting it. And furthermore, if it does get bad for Gerrit Cole, I think it just adds more to the Astros when it comes to their reputation as cheaters. Because Gerrit Cole being the face of this, let's be honest, Gerrit Cole became what he is right now when he was with the Astros.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think it's – I know he's the Yankees' problem now, but I don't know that this necessarily makes the Astros look better the more Gerrit Cole becomes kind of the face of this.
No, it's just misery loves company or justifying your own frustration with everybody piling on the Astros. It was to be expected that the Astros would be piled on because they were caught red-handed doing something that was truly over the line and against baseball rules. This is something that has been acknowledged, and they just want to kind of tweak it because they need more fans.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. What are your realistic expectations for the Astros at this point? I mean, you lay them out before the beginning of the year. I think the
what did I say, 89 wins?
Yeah, you said 89. I think I said like 95. Yeah. I might have been just happy that the Astros were coming back, but what are your expectations at this point for the Astros?
I think they remain at the top, very near the top of baseball, much less the American League. I still think I could use a relief pitcher, but that might take care of itself. because Luis Garcia is not going anywhere. I mean, we used to wonder about that as recently as last week. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be involved at some level. So maybe the pen. And then I could certainly use outfield, but Chaz McCormick is kind of, you know, organized. I mean, establishing himself out there.
He's becoming kind of the face of escaping the frustration with Miles Straw.
Yeah.
That's what Chaz McCormick is becoming. Ocho just said on the text line, I actually agree with him on this. So you and I feel different about who the best pitcher in this rotation is. That's not a knock on Greinke. I think Greinke can be any given night. But I do feel more confident when Fromber's on the mound than Greinke. Sometimes I just don't feel like I know what I'm going to get from Greinke.
It's because of body language.
Well, I also,
Fromber looks like he's going to kick your ass.
But I also think he has an unhittable pitch. I don't think Greinke has that. Greinke is a master craftsman. He's going to end up in Cooperstown.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest. He's closer to 40 than he is 30. Fromber's still that young guy, that
young
bull.
Yeah, but he's the
ace. But he doesn't have anything unhittable.
If you have to win one game tomorrow, who are you throwing out
Fromber.
There? I'm throwing Greinke out there.
Fromber Valdez. And both of them pitched good last year when the Astros needed it most.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, we're having a discussion about two guys that are pitching their best. Greinke is clearly pitching his best. He's going to be on the bump tomorrow night. Jake Odorizzi on the mound. That might be a guy that
I've got some serious doubts.
I don't know what they do with Odorizzi if he can't get the job done. But if you're asking me to list the rotation 1-6, 1-7, I know it's not going to be a 7-man rotation. He's right there near the bottom right now. He might be. I don't know if middle relief is something Odorizzi could do, but he's had some up and down stuff, and there's been a lot more downs than you would like, especially with how the other guys in the rotation are pitching.
I don't have a lot of confidence. I don't have really any confidence right now in Odorizzi. Confidence meter, I would say still Greinke first, probably Fromber second, Luis Garcia.
McCullers.
Well, he's got to get back.
I mean, he's got to be at least in the top three.
Win healthy. It's the win healthy thing with McCullers.
Then you got Garcia.
Yeah.
Then you can piggyback Javier. You can piggyback Odorizzi. You got some good arms here. Mm-hmm. It's very intriguing to see what this Astros team can become. And they got 102 games remaining. I know we had the 60-game season last year, but my goodness, 102 remaining for the Astros, facing one of the best teams in baseball, the Boston Red Sox. The day after, Fromber Valdez emerged as a potential ace.
Potential, yes.
7-1 win yesterday for the Astros. They'll be back at it again today. Coming up, there are a lot of questions being asked about the Houston Texans. But one question I want to ask about one of the longest tenured guys is one that might rub some people the wrong way, but I can actually understand it. Why try? Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Why try? Why try? That's a question I'm asking about Whitney Mercilus. And I'm not asking it from my soapbox. I'm not asking it really in an unrelatable way. If I were Whitney Mercilus at this point, I'm going Roger Dorn when it comes to the 2021 Houston Texans. Here was Roger Dorn in Major League, one of the best baseball movies of all time. This was him talking to his teammate Jake Taylor. Roger Dorn had already made a lot of money. He played on some very good teams. He found himself guaranteed to make more money, wanting to make more money afterwards. And this was Roger Dorn's attitude. I got to say, I would have the same attitude if I were Whitney Mercilus in this situation with this Texans team.
I had to talk to you about something, and I didn't want to do it in front of the rest of the team.
Tasha, what is it? Yeah, have a seat. You want a beer?
Oh, no, thank you.
You have a Financial problems? I could put you onto a great investment guy.
No, I don't have much of a portfolio right now. But, you know, what I was concerned about was why you didn't come up with that grounder that Riker hit in the ninth.
It was out of my reach. What do you want me to do, die for it?
Raj, could have meant the game.
Oh, come on. Cut the rah-rah, Taylor. Year after this, I go free agent. Plus, my agent and I got a couple of plans for life after baseball. So I am not about to risk major injury or to face this property for a collection of stiffs.
Okay. Now, obviously, it was an extreme representation of an athlete in that situation. But with all we know about Whitney Mercilus, with the money being guaranteed, with his best football behind him, with the Texans asking him to do something for the first time in 10 years, something he's never done, and with just the dangers of the sport, why try if you're Whitney Mercilus?
We know why. You know why. I know why. We all know why. You're a professional. You're paid to do that. That's in the perfect world, right? I think he will. I think anybody would, especially if with a new team. You're trying to impress a new leadership group, new coach, new general manager.
But why does he want to impress these guys? Because this is the last year that Whitney Mercilus is going to be here. Why does he care what David Coley or Lovie Smith thinks about him?
Well, you're trying to impress them because you want to play, first of all. And I think that's the first thing. The second thing, Whitney Mercilus probably wants to try to cash one more check, one more big check, like a lot of his teammates, his new teammates, the guys that are here on 1 and 2 year contracts. There's a big number of them who may be out of the game if it weren't for the Houston Texans, but they're getting an extra couple $1 million or $6 million or whatever it is. He may want to be in that. Who doesn't want more money? So as a professional, you want to do that. That being said, human nature always kicks in. I don't care if you're one of the loopholes listening to us and you got a new boss and you're not sure about him, you're not sure where you fit in, and you're close to retirement, or you got another job offer and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to kind of mail in these last couple of months. That happens in the NFL. They start the season badly. I fully expect Whitney Mercilus to kind of make those business decisions, and I wouldn't blame him one bit. I think it's human nature.
That's what I would do. I mean, if I were Whitney Mercilus, yeah. I'm going there. My main goal is don't get hurt.
Protect the investment.
My main goal is don't get hurt. My main goal is try to make it as smooth of a transaction out of Houston as possible. If that means retiring, try to stay as healthy as possible. If that means finding my way to another place, I want to do that as well. You came up with J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt asked for his release. J.J. Watt did not want to go through what Whitney Mercilus is going through right now. Fortunately for Watt, there was no guaranteed money, so the Texans granted that wish. Now J.J. Watt appears to be pretty happy in Arizona in a better situation. So if I'm Whitney Mercilus and I'm getting that money no matter what, first of all, it's hard in any situation for a guy to do something that he hasn't done in 10 years. When you ask a guy to change schemes and you're asking Whitney Mercilus to put his hand in the dirt for the first time in 10 years, that's hard regardless.
Yeah.
But when you add in the fact that financially there's no consequences for struggling, and you know that you're not going to be here long term, and you know that your peers that you came up with are in better situations that they're more excited about, I just don't think
guys
that I would.
These guys aren't tied to you. This isn't the guy, well, maybe Jack Easterby, but these aren't the guys that gave you that contract, that have coached you through that your last two contracts. They're not indebted to you at all. So I don't blame Whitney Mercilus or anyone who, when you start losing, you're just like, okay, let me just make it look good on film and start looking at my next destination. I don't blame them.
9631 on the text line, Whitney Mercilus appears to have character and integrity. That's why he would work hard to be a productive member of the team. Did you watch him play last year? I mean, that's another thing, is there's context clues. The dude was fat. He was out of shape. Mm-hmm. He was not ready to go. This was after he got that contract. Did you watch him play last year? That's the other thing. And furthermore, I don't necessarily think that Whitney Mercilus, with a team that winning is not the top priority, with a team that is in a rebuild, Whitney Mercilus going out there and looking out for himself, I don't consider that to be a lack of integrity. There are a lot of things that are a lack of integrity.
Yes.
Like if he's stealing Bradley Roby's chain when they go to practice, that's a lack of integrity. If he's moving out of the way so someone else can get hurt, that's a lack of integrity. But Whitney Mercilus going out there in this situation with how this organization has functioned the last 2 years and not going 100% all in, I don't consider that to be a lack of integrity.
I don't question his character and integrity. Whitney Mercilus is of the highest character and highest integrity. It has nothing to do with human nature and business, man. I mean, those are two separate things. Just naturally, if the season is lost and you think your investment, your body, you know, your is potentially going to bring you more millions of dollars next year somewhere else, you do that. It's just it's natural. The texter would do that. Oh no, I wouldn't. Yes, you would.
1-842 on the text line. Landry, some of us take pride in trying to
Whitney
do a good
takes
job.
Pride.
I take pride in doing a good job more than a lot of people in this business. Trust me, I understand taking pride in doing your job, but this is not as relatable as myself or 1-842 on the text line. This is a guy who's already set for life. He's got $50 million.
51 he's made so far. And unless he gets cut, it'll be 61 after this year.
He's also, the harder he tries, the more he's risking his health. He's out there. He is out there battling. And unlike myself and unlike most people, I know there are some loopholes who maybe live this way. No matter what happens with Whitney Merciless this year, he's getting $10.5 million or whatever it is. So this isn't a situation where, you know, you have pride in everything like that. This is a situation where you not only are you guaranteed financially, but if you're looking ahead, you could be negatively impacting yourself moving down the line if you do put it on the line too much. And furthermore, most people, when they do their job, for the most part, and I mean, there are exceptions, but if you do your job, then you're set. Whitney Merciless could go out there and have a career year, mm-hmm. and this team could still win two games.
Yeah,
he is not really in control of what's like the actual performance. So look, I'm just trying to relate to Whitney Mercer. I know there's a lot of hardos here that would give Rudy like effort no matter what. I just if I'm Whitney Mercer, I'm not enjoying this.
I would like to think that I have character and integrity.
Yeah,
I would like to think I do.
You do.
I would like to think that I would never check out if things went bad and I could see the finish line coming and a chance to maybe make some more money, a lot more money. But I'm here to tell you, I think I would. Well, I think most people would.
And I think surroundings matter. And I think the state of the organization matters as well. So, like, yeah, I think if the Texans were what they were 2 years ago, where you had Nuke Hopkins, you had Deshaun Watson, you had J.J. Watt, you had DJ Reader, and you had a chance, and you didn't have the reputation that this organization has with season ticket holders opting out and stuff like that, I think, yeah, Whitney Merciless is going to go there and he's going to bust balls.
Yeah.
He's going to give you everything he's got, and he did. But that's not the situation here. Your environment, your surroundings matter. And if you look at every variable that would lead to maybe not being 100% bought in and maybe not – giving it 100%. Look, you can say that you wouldn't do it, but you also don't have $51 million, an organization that has been the worst run organization in the last 2 years, and you're not being asked to do something different for the first time in 10 years, knowing that they're not going to bring you back after this year. Whitney Merciless is not going to be back with the Texans. Whitney Merciless could thrive this year.
He might not be there this year.
He's not going to be back with the Texans. There's a one-year window. There's little chance to win, and there is no financial benefit for Whitney Merciless.
Yeah. No. There's the pride factor is going to be evident. The professionalism, the character, the integrity, as the texter pointed out, is going to be present throughout OTAs, minicamp, camp, early in the season. He's going to do it the right way. What I'm saying is there's a point where it's diminishing returns, or you're just protecting yourself from you're protecting your future. You're investing in your future by, I'm not saying, you know, run the other way when the ball is snapped. I'm saying you're not gonna take that extra lunge on the sideline when the guy's stepping out.
Well, the other thing is this, and especially on the D line, define not completely selling out on the text line 8684. Well, let's say Whitney Merciless is motivated. What's he going to be motivated by? Wins and losses? In other words, is Whitney Merciless going to fill that gap so that he can free someone up? Or is Whitney Merciless going to try to get that sack so that maybe he can line himself up for that next contract? Playing D-line is a very unselfish thing when it's done to the fullest. A lot of times guys will do stuff that you don't even recognize.
Yeah.
Is Whitney Merciless going to do that, or is he going to try to get the sack so that when he does go somewhere else after this year, that it looks a little bit better. You tell me what you would do.
He needs numbers, and he needs to stay healthy. So, yeah, again, I think the professional in him is gonna do his job. But if he sees an opportunity to maybe, cut corners to try to get a sack, he might at some point in the season.
And that's quite honestly something that you and I can both understand. 713-572-4610. Boy, there's a lot of Rudy's on the text line. Congrats on y'all's max effort and your $50 million contracts. We love you very much. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Coming up, Stanford Route. So we're going to ask Stanford Route about this Whitney Merciless discussion. We're also going to give you a chance to win a G. Once again, 12:45, be listening. We're going to give you a chance to win a GER, a THOW, another STEMI, whatever you want to call it. Another chance at 1,000 in Stanford Routes weekly visit next.
And guess what?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
10 minutes, chance to win a G. A G. A thousand.
A big stack.
Dollars. 11:45, 12:45 every day right here on Sports Radio 610. We got you a chance to win some bread. Stanford Brout joining us for his weekly visit shortly. Sean Pendergast is at Texans OTAs. Nick Caserio throwing the football a little bit out there. Sean has uploaded a video. The GM of the Houston Texans getting some throws in. He's rocking the athletic tights. Looks like he's about to call next at the local YMCA, the 40 and up court.
He keeps his form perfect.
Nick Caserio looks like he's going to do that. Almost a little bit stiff. He looks stiffer than
exaggerates the form.
Yeah, he looks stiffer than a wedding dong to me.
Wait,
we're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation.
But he's out there. He's got the visor on. He's got the tights. He's doing his thing. So we'll hear what Sean has to say about that in just a sec. We were talking about Whitney Merciless earlier. Why, if I was him, I'm not really buying in completely to what's going on with the Texans. I just don't see any area of it. There's no suggestion that he's going to do it. I'm speaking more from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the motivation is. Maybe Whitney is different, but in my situation, I'm looking out for myself. I'm chasing sacks. I'm not going to be filling holes. That's just where I'm going to be.
Professionalism, that's where I'm going to stay. Integrity, all that stuff. Whitney has it in spades. He's got it. All I'm saying is, I'll put it this way. Someone texted. He said, "I'm a retired Navy veteran." And
we're comparing that to a guy that has $50 million?
Hold on. I think it's a good example for this reason. Because he says, "I'm a retired Navy veteran. And integrity and character is what it's all about. I would never do that." And my response was this, so I'll share it here. All due respect, that's absolutely. You're in the military. It is all about character and integrity. But that day before, or a couple of days before, you went on 48-hour leave. Did you work as hard or do as much or do that extra stuff like you did on other days? I think the answer is no. And that's what we're saying. He's going to go. He's going to go hard. He's going to do everything he can to be the Whitney Merciless that he knows he can be or he once was. It's not about character.
I don't know how he goes in that building and enjoys being there. Like just the natural morale of Whitney Merciless. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he does it. J.J. Watt didn't want to do it. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to do it. DeAndre Hopkins seems happy to have escaped it. Like, I don't know how, if you're Whitney Merciless and you've been here for almost a decade, I don't know how you walk into that building. It's one thing for someone who...
Well, you do it because you're getting paid handsomely.
Well, I mean, you do it, but you're getting paid handsomely regardless of how you walk in. Mm-hmm. That's the point, is that he's getting paid handsomely no matter what. So that doesn't matter. Whether you're getting, I mean, it does, but the result.
I mean, he could get cut.
Well, he's still going to get paid. Well, his money is guaranteed. Yeah, his money is guaranteed. So it doesn't matter. The way the contract is set up, he's getting that regardless, and it's been set up now to where this is likely his last year. I don't know how Whitney Merciless, with the teams that he's been on and what he's gone through at this point in his career, I don't know how he walks into that building and says, all right, let's go. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for Charles Omenihu to do it. Charles Omenihu is trying to find that second contract. Quite honestly, Charles Omenihu is trying to find himself as a player. Mm-hmm. Whitney Merciless's best days are behind him. Whitney Merciless is getting paid regardless. Whitney Merciless was here when there was hope. Whitney Merciless was here when you had one of the best defenses in the NFL, and you had the Y Brock Y. He was here when Deshaun Watson got here. He was here when the Texans went up 24-0 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Whitney Merciless has been carted off the field. Whitney Merciless has been one of the most underpaid guys in the league. Whitney Merciless got that third contract. So if you're Whitney Merciless, how the hell do you walk in there and feel like you're just 100% going to buy into this new system and everything? That's not questioning Whitney Merciless. I don't know what Whitney Merciless is going to do. I'm speaking from my own perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if I was Whitney Merciless, I'm not excited about what they're trying to sell me at NRG. I'm not excited about walking into the locker room and seeing Jack Easterby F and TJ Maxx signs saying, do the next right thing and it all matters. I'm not excited about walking in and seeing David Coley having a job as head coach that is basically like a retirement position, as you call it. I'm not excited about all of a sudden having to put my hand in the dirt for the first time in 10 years and having a defensive coordinator here who it seems like the game has passed him by. I'm not excited about being projected to be the worst team in the NFL 19-20 months after I had the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl champs, down 24-0.
Yeah.
Furthermore, the benefit of me doing this, maybe I'm going to put something on tape for my next suitor. Maybe that's the motivation. But even then, when you're doing that, a lot of times that goal doesn't necessarily, it's not synchronized with what's in the best interest of the team. A lot of times chasing a sack for that next suitor is not what's in the best interest of a defense when it comes to gap integrity or anything. So this isn't a knock. I don't know what Whitney Merciless is going to do. I know I saw him last year and he didn't look good. He looked out of shape and he didn't look good. So you can add that to the mix. But if I'm Whitney Merciless, I don't think I'm 100% buying into what they're selling, because there's not much that benefits me. And the stuff that does benefit me, it doesn't necessarily line up 100% with what they might want.
I still think, this is where I differ slightly from you. He's going to come in and be a pro and just do it the right way for as long as he can until human nature kicks in and he realizes, all right, I can't be doing this anymore. Whether it's even conscious or not, it could be a subconscious thing where it's like, I don't know if I want to do that or not. And by the way, Stanford Route will be joining us here in about 4 minutes.
About 40 seconds.
Something else in about 4 minutes. Big money. But we'll ask him exactly that.
713-572-4610. Speaking of the devil, it is that time, 12:40 on Wednesday. Stanford Rout joins the show. Stan the man, how you living, my friend?
Fellas, what's going on, man? Landry, I've never actually seen or heard you be passionate about anything like that ever. So that is very interesting for me to actually see that out of you.
You need to get off social media and actually listen a little bit from 10 to 2, and maybe you would hear that on the reg. But I know you're too busy with your photo shoots, so good on you, Stan.
Landry,
here we go.
J-Lo,
here we go.
Once again, it is very happy to be back on with you guys. I'm going to let that one slide,
right,
and then we'll go ahead and proceed.
Whitney Merciless, he's in an interesting situation, Stanford, because he's getting his money no matter what. He's being asked to basically change systems and change schemes that might not necessarily fit his skill set. He was a part of the Texans for a long time. I'm not saying this based on anything I know about Whitney Mercilus or anything like that, but if I were in that position, I just don't know how I go into work every day feeling excited about what to do. And I don't know. I would basically be making business decisions on the field. Am I out of line in thinking that way?
You're not out of line when you say when you mention the part about making business decisions on the field. Now, where you are misguided at is in the realm of putting your feet on the table, standing on the table, and demanding that you want to trade, things like that, because not everybody is the quarterback who makes $40 million a year. Not everybody is Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or even a J.J. Watt to some degree. And I say that from the standpoint of you can go and demand a trade. You can go and do all those things. But guess what? It may not be greener on the other side. The players know that. So you have to take a step back and you think to yourself, okay, this is not the most ideal situation that I'm in currently. But you know what? I'm doing what I love, playing the game of football, and I'm getting paid handsomely. That is something that I know I can go ahead and take to the bank. That's something that can actually go ahead and give me a certain level of peace when I lay my head down at night, because the devil that you do know is oftentimes better than the one that you don't know. That's what you have to also understand for a lot of players, and not everybody has the cachet. Not everybody has the power to demand a trade and it actually happen and everything go according to plan the way that they perceived it in their mind whenever they came up with the idea.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Stanford Route with us. Here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. You hear the sounder. It's that time, 1145, 1245 every day right here on Sports Radio 610. It's time for your chance to win $1,000. Let's put a grand in your hand. Text the code WORD. And again, you're texting this to 72881. 72881. Text the code WORD BAND. B-A-N-D. B-A-N-D. Bands will make her dance. $1,000. I think that might be a band. I'm not sure. Text BAND to 72881. Nationwide entrance. We'll have until the top of the hour to text BAND to 72881. Message and data rates apply. We're putting a grand in your hand every day, 1145, 1245 right here, powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in more with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today. That's Bet, BETQL, again, the word band, BAND, to 72881.
All right, Stan, what would you want to hear from the new staff as you're at OTAs with so many new faces? The Texans assistant coaches spoke yesterday, and I was talking with Wade Smith about this yesterday, and we were both very, very impressed that they weren't talking about versatility a lot like B.O.B. used to do. They were talking about just finding something that a guy can do very, very well and just focusing on that. And we were both very encouraged. Look, we don't know what this team is going to be, and we kind of think it's not going to be real good. But we were both very encouraged by just the approach from the coaching staff. What would be your thoughts?
Well, for one, what gives me cause for an actual positive level of thinking is him coming from that Baltimore Ravens type of brain trust. That's number one. And then when you talk about how paying attention to just simply what the player can do well and focusing on that, putting them in position to be successful, that right there is part of the Patriot way. I'm not going to sit over here and I'm not going to ask you to be a fish out of water. I'm not going to ask you to play with your left hand. I'm going to find out what you do well, and I'm going to ask you to do that, and I'm going to put you in positions that way you can be successful. That's why the Seattle Seahawks were successful for so long on the defense side of the ball with that Legion of Boom, because that's pretty much the philosophy that they had. So within that being said, that does give me a slight reason, a slight possibility of thinking successfully for this new coaching staff with those words that they're throwing out during the press conference.
Stanford Brout joining us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. How hard is it to go from a 3-4 to a 4-3? I mean, from your perspective as a cornerback and from the perspective of other guys, where is it going to be most difficult for these guys to transition to a 3-4 or 4-3?
It is going to be most difficult for the guys that the guys in the front seven. For the safeties, the corners, it's all pretty much kind of the same. Not too much of a difference for you, but for the front seven, absolutely, because the 3-4 is predicated on pass rushers and it's predicated on that nose guard. You cannot have a successful 3-4 defense if you do not have a nose tackle or a nose guard, whichever one you want to call it, that can command a double team. Not somebody that can go over there and kind of force one from time to time. You have to command a double team. When you look at Siragusa for the Baltimore Ravens back when they won the title in 2001, when you look at how you got people like Casey Hampton for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you see how DJ Reader did a good job playing that nose guard position a couple of years ago for the Houston Texans. That right there is number one. Number two, you look at the defensive ends. Even though J.J. Watt played defensive end, in the 3-4 defense for the Houston Texans, it more so is almost kind of like a defensive tackle spot because the outside edge, the outside linebacker, is pain. So now when you go ahead and you flip that now to the 4-3 defense, the defensive tackles, they have a much different position. You don't have to command a double team because it's two defensive tackles now. The defensive ends, they're more so playing a nine technique where they actually have outside contained. They don't let anything get outside of them. For the outside backers, it's more along the lines of playing run defense, not necessarily being a hellified pass rusher. You cannot have a good 3-4 defense without having edge rushers who are very, very good. That's why the Texans with Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Merciless, that's why they were so good a couple years ago. The 4-3 defense now definitely changes everything. So for the outside edge rushers, now going to defensive end, 4-3 defensive end, and the defensive tackles now, and the nose guard now playing a true defensive tackle position rather than having to command a double team. He now more so has a lot of one-on-one, two-gap responsibility, things like that. So it's predicated on the front seven where it's going to be the biggest difference in the switch more so than any other position on the defense side of the ball. And I remember Mario Williams. That's why he left the Houston Texans, because guess what? They went from the 4-3 to the 3-4. Yeah. He's a all-pro defensive end. Now all of a sudden you want him to stand up. You want him to be playing in a two-point stance, getting after the quarterback from a different vantage point. That's one of the main reasons why he did not re-sign with the Texans, and they let him go on to the Buffalo Bills.
Can't let you go without asking about Julio and what's going to happen with him as a Titan. Just your thoughts. I won't even try to ask a leading question. Your thoughts on Julio with the Titans?
Oh, I think that obviously that's going to make them a better team. I mean, it's Julio Jones, for crying out loud. Pretty much one of the best receivers, but it's not the best over the last decade of football in the NFL. Big, strong, fast guy. I think we all know that. Now, where it's going to get interesting is this right here. And I said this before. Julio wanted to go to a team where he was going to win. Okay, kind of accomplished that. But Julio still being one of the top 12 receivers in the league, and I'm only breaking him in the top 12 simply because he's been injured, things like that. We all know when he's fully healthy.
Down on Julio.
No, shots fired.
Are y'all going to let me finish?
Or go ahead. I'm just making an observation.
I said when he's healthy, he's easily top four, top three when he's healthy. I'm saying top 12 because he has missed some games over the last couple of years, things like that. But when he's healthy on the field, easily top three, top four. And you can rate them however you want to, you know, rate them. Now, where I still would give the Indianapolis Colts the division is because he's going to a team where he's about to have depressed and suppressed numbers because, yes, he's going to be teaming up with A.J. Brown, Pro Bowl receiver in his second year, last year out of Ole Miss. But that team is still built around the bull in the back, Derrick Henry. It's still built around run the ball, run the ball. We're going to go ahead and make timely passes off of the play action, things like that. So Julio Jones, the years of 1,300 receiving yards, 1,600 receiving yards, I would say that those years are probably going to be gone, not because he's old, he's over the hill, he's lost a step, but just because he's not going to an offense that's predicated on the run game versus what he just left with the Atlanta Falcons being predicated on the pass game, Matt Ryan, gunslinger, things like that. So I think that we're going to have to wait and see to actually truly see the impact that it's going to have unless the Tennessee Titans now all of a sudden become a team that is going to be aerial attack mindset first and then go ahead and run second. I don't see Mike Vrabel doing that, but sans that, you're not going to see the Julio Jones that you saw in Atlanta, not because he's lost his step, just because it's in a completely different type of mindset and philosophy within Nashville, Tennessee versus ATL, Georgia.
Man, I'm telling you, Stan, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, though. First of all, damn, these are some expensive Louis that I got on right now. Goodness. But I'm just
– What are you – Landry, come on. Grow up.
But I'm putting myself in your shoe. Damn, these are nice. But as a cornerback, I mean, my God. And I think this goes for a defense. I get what you're saying as far as the overall effectiveness in numbers. But my God, I got a bump and run with either Julio or A.J. Brown. And then when they want to run the ball, I might have to tackle that big SOB running a sweep. That just seems like that's what they call, what is it, a two chin strap game or button up the chin strap type of game or something like that?
Buckle both clips.
Now, Legend, now when we're talking about the personnel of the that is going to be a tough day at the offense, no matter what corner. You got to go over here.
Yeah.
You got to line up on Julio Jones. You got to. One of the things that you know in the NFL as a DB is if I'm playing against a team that has a top-notch receiver, I know that he's not going to line up on me every play. So there's going to be some play where I can necessarily take the play off, but I know that I don't have to worry about this dog.
But not if it's those two, though. Those two are bulls, man.
Landry, are you going to let me finish? So that's the beauty about the NFL is that I don't have to worry about him in front of me every play because sometimes he may line up on the other side. Sometimes it might be a run play. But in this situation, I never can take a play off because it's either A.J. Brown in front of me or it's still in front of me.
Yeah.
So each play, I got to be ready. And then guess what? On a run play, I can't take that play off either because I got that guy who's about 6'4". He's about 240. And apparently he runs really, really fast.
Yeah.
Whenever he breaks, nobody really catches him.
Dude, you got to bang with these guys. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, I prepared my body to bang with these guys. And now all of a sudden I got to dive at this guy. Has there ever been, Stanford, we're up against it. I want to ask you this like real quick. You can bring your A game in that situation for 3 hours, but is there ever like a situation where you bring your A game so much and it's such a physically imposing feat that the next week maybe you just your ass is just so kicked to where you might have gotten the best of the Titans the week before, but the Titans basically beat you the next week because you were just so beat up from that week?
Absolutely. That has happened where you play a game that's so physically grueling and so mentally taxing that the next week you pretty much lay a dud or lay an egg because of being mentally worn down from that game before. So, yeah, that definitely is very possible, and I've had situations like that.
Stanford, appreciate you as always, sir.
Thank you, guys. And Landry, stop talking about my shoes on some social media network that I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, come on now. Stop calling me out of everybody.
Drip, 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 drip. Stan, appreciate you.
Hey, you guys be good. I'll talk to y'all next week.
All right, man.
I was going to say not talk about his shoes. He's uploading them every day.
I disagree with him a lot about Julio Jones. He knows it. I'll mix it up with him on that.
We will talk to Sean Pendergast, live trip to Kirby, a Pinderruption, if you will. And Deshaun Watson, he's making it clear where he wants to go, according to a former Texan. We'll tell you where that is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.